This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Bob Pompiani back with you. Joe Starkey has the day off, but he did call in earlier to share his memories about Mike Lang, who passed away last night at the age of 76. And we continue the conversation with a man who knew him very well, both as a player, a broadcaster, and just a friend, and that would be Jay Caulfield. Jay, I'm sure it was a tough night to get those news that, you know, at age 76, Mike has gone through some struggles, of course, but, man, his legend and his legacy will live on forever around Pittsburgh hockey.
Yeah, Bob, first of all, good to talk to you this morning, and certainly on a sour, sad note, hear that. But yeah, Mike was, I had just been on with somebody else a little while ago and just talking about, you know, when I first got here and how welcoming, you know, you're a new player coming to a new team, new city, and on top of the players, Mike was extremely, you know, warm and welcoming, and got to know him right away in our first trip that I took. And, you know, it's, and then top, and then as you said, just a legendary voice, but a guy that helped hockey, you know, bring hockey really to its, you know, in the Pittsburgh area, to bring its attention to it. And of course, Mario comes into town and everything goes on from there. But certainly a voice that you'll never forget hearing, and how he made everybody feel a part of every night that a game was on. And he made it a closeness for, especially a fan base in Pittsburgh that is, as far as like wanting to be a part of their teams, second to none. And when you have an announcer like that, he makes that a reality for everybody. And he certainly did that for us as players, and he did it for the whole city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he certainly did. And Mario did issue a statement on this. He said, "Mike was a Penguins legend and one of the most important figures in franchise history. It was my honor to have him call virtually every goal in my career and play a key role in all five of the Stanley Cup championships. Mike was a one-of-a-kind broadcaster, a tremendous ambassador for the city of Pittsburgh, and most importantly, a great friend, and he will be missed." And the ambassador part is true, too, because when you hear a voice, and you know how this works now, I'm sure you have the same thing.
Yeah.
People get out and they know your voice, and they say, "Wait a minute, that's Jay Caulfield." Well, Mike had that, and Penguin fans everywhere, not just in Pittsburgh, those who listen on the Night Owl shift and we're out of town or wherever, they would listen to Mike Lang. And he brought hockey before, you know, at a time where hockey wasn't very big and there were 6,000 people at these arenas watching games, but the ones who came, and the ones who came after that, even before Lemieux, were there because Mike Lang introduced it to him.
Yeah, Mike, that's such a, or, and Bob, that's such a, you know, I think we all, as you just touched on a little bit, there's announcers in every sport that just kind of hang, that you just look forward to hearing. Like, you want the A team, if you will, right? Like, when it's NFL weekend, you hope you get the A announcers. And with hockey, you know, nationally, you know, Mike Demrick getting the NBC calls and, you know, all those kind of things. But there are few and far between that really go to that level that you can look at and say they just make an impact, that you just want to hear them each and every game or each and every week, whatever it might be, whatever sport. But he is one of the elite. He was one of the elite. And the person that the voice that you hear carries the game, you can feel it, you can see it. I think Mario's message was pretty pointed. It's just about, like, I think he called almost, you know, all of Mario's goals and what that meant and the Stanley Cups. And I think that message alone says so much. But I just think the way he drew people in, Bob, was, you know, in such a unique way. I don't know what it was, but again, a strong voice that, you know, I think we, and Bob, even you being in the industry, you can always say there's, if you hear a voice, you know, that's not, you might say something, that's not like an NHL voice. Then you hear a Mike Lang, that's an NHL, that's a prime time, that was a prime time voice that people will not forget. And I truly believe it's the way he brought people in and make them feel that they were a part of what was going on and drew them into the game. And, you know, like you said, early days when there weren't many people in the building, they needed something, and he was the guy that provided it, that started to draw attention on his calls and how it was and how he explained the game. And it'll live on forever.
You know, Jay, it's funny you say that, because it is important to, especially if you're doing it on radio, to be vivid in your description. But also, I always appreciated this about him, that he never took for granted maybe a listener or two tunes in who hadn't. And even though you know some of these arbitrary rules that there are in the game, he would take time to explain them as if you were tuning in for the first time and you didn't understand hockey. I appreciate what you do with your Telestrator, because you do the same thing for people who are not aware of some of the schematics to go into or why this play turned out the way it did. He did that, you know, on radio especially. You could see it on TV, but when radio was going on and he was doing it, he created a picture in your mind based on how he described every single part of a play.
Yeah, that's so true. And it needs to be, like you said, radio, a special side of it, if you can do the radio call and have people really get the feel on where it's at and what's happening. And I had the chance to be around Sam Rosen, too, on my start of my career, and seeing him just a couple weeks ago with the, you know, the U.S. Hall of Fame. I think they all felt to a man, like Mike. Sam's one that's in that upper that echelon of top, and he raved about, like, what Mike Lang did and how he provided it. So, yeah, you know, Bob, it's that's a unique talent, right? It's a talent that not everybody has. Not everybody can. I mean, there's voices, and then there's guys that have the voice and then the ability to explain the game and take it to the level where everybody can understand it and know, feel like they know what's going on.
Did you have a special saying that Mike threw out? There were so many of them that come to mind, and they all fit the occasion, you know, the gravity of the game came to a crescendo, and there was that, whatever he wanted to use, whether it was smoked him like a bad cigar, beat him like a rented mule. I mean, they go on, and they fit, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I was buy Sam a drink and get his dog one, too. I always kind of like that one. But my one that just, when Elvis just left the building kind of thing, I just like that, because it was straightforward. And I know that's simple compared to all the other ones, but I just like that one. And it just makes everybody feel about Pittsburgh and the Penguins winning games and winning cups. And that's the one I like. That's what I like, Bob. That's the one I know it's a simple one, but it's the one I like.
And if you ever went to an Elvis Presley concert, that's how they ended it all the time, right? Elvis has just left the building.
So there you go, Bob.
So he took it and turned it into a hockey thing that everyone knows. The other one is it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh. That's so simple.
Yeah.
But anytime, and you hear, I guess the biggest compliment you can make is that when people start repeating these things out in own conversations, I've been to places where, you know, there are gatherings going on, and in the middle of a conversation, you would hear something that came from Mike Lang that's being repeated by other people. That's how ingrained it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had some NHL Network stuff on, and they were talking about, there was people calling in and saying just that. From the other side of the state, too, people calling in from Philly, and I think that is that part's amazing. And I also in Philadelphia, when we just started watching hockey, they had Gene Hart, Don Earl, and Gene Hart for the play-by-play in color, and we always felt like you could always get the game from them as well and understand it, because that was like back in the day then that you didn't have games on TV, you were listening on radio, and you had to be a special voice. And again, when you have people call in at different places and all over the country, as you mentioned, Bob, that the people had would quote them. That's pretty amazing. And that you're in this industry, he's elite, and he's the best of the best. And like you said, legendary. I still think like Mario's message was poignant. It was just so spot on, and something that's very special when you can have it. And in my early times here in Pittsburgh too, I remember the first time I heard going to a Steelers game. My wife Alicia and I were going to go to a Steelers game for the first time, and on the way to the game after practice, I hear Myron Cope for the first time, right? So when you have that kind of voice and what that means to the city of Pittsburgh, and then Mike Lang is just in this category of, as I said a lot of times, right, Bob, you want to make sure you get the A team, and a voice that when you hear it, you carry it, you know you're listening to an NHL announcer. But he was not only that, he was, as I said, the best of the best. And and it's a sad day in Pittsburgh as far as that's concerned, but what he meant, it's amazing. And I'm sure you're listening from above, realizing how everybody loved him and is going to miss him, but what it means to him to realize all the attention that goes with it. Pretty amazing, right, Bob?
Well, he's buying Sam a drink up there in heaven, and the dog too. Only can wonder what it would have been like tonight if he had to call this game between USA and Canada. And I can't let you go without a thought on that one, because I would imagine that he would take it, and the gravity of the game, especially if it's close late. Mike Lang would have done that justice to have that kind of game. So what do you expect from that kind of game tonight?
First of all, I agree that he would have done justice. I think it would have been phenomenal to hear him call this game. Now, as far as the game is concerned, and telling Joe yesterday, I still go, I said before, I thought the goaltending, Hellebuck, has got to be the difference maker, right, for U.S. to win. Hellebuck is going to be the difference maker. I find it hard, though, to think that Sidney Crosby or McDavid, McKinnon, and the likes of, you know, who's in the lineup, if Makar's back in the lineup, I find it hard. That's why I say Hellebuck has to be the star. For USA to win, Hellebuck has to be the best player on the ice tonight. And because I don't think, you don't hold back. And we're U.S., but we have Sidney Crosby on the other side. And if you look at it, if they pulled out, I find it hard to go against Sidney Crosby in a game like this. And coupled with the idea that he has the other, you know, from McDavid and McKinnon, and the speed that they bring, it's hard to go against that. If you're a betting person, you're looking at it going, really, is that going to happen again? I don't know. But I do believe Hellebuck has to be the number one star, and that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to go U.S. with Hellebuck being the star. He's there. He's going to get tested here tonight. But we're really torn, because I do say, how are you going to bet? Is Canada going to lose two times to a U.S. team that certainly got the best on the other night? But hard to go against Crosby. But I got to lean on the Hellebuck and U.S. and Mike Sullivan having these guys ready to go and realize that what they won the other night will mean nothing if they don't come around and win this game tonight.
No question. That's how much is on the line, and I agree with you. I think the goaltending advantage is there. But you got to put pressure on Jordan Binnington or whatever they end up doing over there, because all it takes is one shot or two. Real quick before I let you go, and I appreciate the time, Jay.
Yeah.
Do you expect fights like we saw? I mean, the Tkachuk brothers lit it up the other day. I don't know what I would expect tonight from that point of view.
Yeah, I don't. Listen, I think if Team Canada could change their lineup and brought up Tom Wilson, then you'd see fights, right? Because I think they regret that they don't have him in the lineup, that they didn't put him on the team.
Right.
The guy does everything for Washington, right? Kills penalties. They built their team, right? We talked about this last week. They built their team just as U.S. did. It's not the best players across Canada. It's the best team that they put together, including some of the best ever to play the game. But as a team, that's not what's there, right? So they don't, the pieces that they wanted to put together, And again, I would say if you could make a substitution and put a player like Tom Wilson in the lineup, then I think you would see something. Then you'd see it get back right after it. But I don't think that doesn't. I'm not saying that can't happen inside the game tonight to play, because it's going to be everything is going to be. There's not going to be a check that's not finished. And if it gets to a level where somebody takes it to a different, goes hard on Crosby or McDavid, something over and above, and you can still see that. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I don't think. I think after the first time it happens, having it again doesn't, unless Team Canada wants to initiate and puts different people on the ice. But Sam Bennett's their toughest. Sam Bennett's is tough, but he's small. He's not. Brady Tkachuk is much bigger than Bennett, but Sam Bennett's the toughest player that they have on that lineup as far as fisticuffs or whatever might go. They're not built like that for that. So I don't expect to see it right away, Bob. But I do think inside the game, certainly something could happen, especially if anything gets out of hand one way or another. I think then you're going to see something take place, but I don't expect it off the start. And again, let's hope USA can continue this and Mike Sullivan brings home a championship for USA and everything that goes with that. But, man, it's tough to go against the Crosby situation.
No
two games.
Question. And he has such a big resume in these kind of international competitions that it's almost natural to expect him to win. But I'll tell you, one guy for the USA who's got to step up, I think, is Austin Matthews. He has not had a good tournament, at least from a point-producing tournament. He needs to be one of those guys tonight if they're going to win this game.
Yeah, Bob, if he's not, I mean, he is. I mean, I don't even, I honestly not, I haven't noticed. Same as what you're mentioning. You're seeing you're seeing McKinnon, you see McDavid, you see Crosby. I'm not seeing that from that side either. They do need something different. They need the star power from Matthews to step up and come to the forefront in this game tonight. So that's going to be the difference, and that's why. And he'll never hear. Listen, he's under scrutiny. He's under the microscope because especially playing in Toronto. They haven't won in Toronto. And if they don't pull it through today, he's going to hear a lot of that as well. So, again, it's going to be, again, I think great theater, great to see. And it's certainly got the hockey world a buzz. I still don't know what's happening. We were talking yesterday, Bob, if you know, with this Hughes situation, I don't know if he's going to be able to play tonight for them or not because they need to drop another player. Have you heard anything different?
No, I haven't. And that's going to be key. He would be a tremendous asset. But I don't know.
Yeah, he was supposed to be there. He was supposed to be there in the first place. And with McAvoy out, that was the topic that we were discussing yesterday. So I haven't heard anything different about it either.
Yeah.
Key for U.S.
I know this. It's going to be a tremendous game. Everybody watching, some of the ratings have been through the roof, and they should continue tonight. Jay, thank you very much for your time and memories of Mike Lang. We appreciate it and look forward to seeing you again next week.
All right, Bob. You take care.
All right. That's the great Jay Caulfield joining us here.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
We continue here, Bob Pompeiani. And today, Joe Starkey has the day off, but he did call in earlier to share his memories about the late, great Mike Lang, who sadly passed away last night at the age of 76. And our next guest knew him maybe better than most. He spent a lot of time with him. In fact, I'm sure he can thank Mike for a lot of what he has accomplished in his own career, which has been brilliant as play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know him, you love him. Mr. Greg Brown joins us right now. And Brownie, I know this is a tough one for you. You've gotten to know him so well over the years, what he meant to you as a person, as a broadcaster. I mean, where do you start to describe your emotions today?
You know, Pomp, first of all, thanks for letting me share memories. Been doing that a lot last night and today, on the air, off the air, friends, family, acquaintances, over the phone, through texting, even emails. It's cathartic, you know, anytime you lose a loved one. I posted something last night, said something to the effect of how struggling kind of with emotions. Because I am taking great comfort, I keep going back to it when I start to get really sad about him being gone, that he is no longer in pain and suffering. It hurt to watch him hurt over the last few years. And the fact that that's now gone and he's in a better place, again, is I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the fact that the good Lord somehow found a way to have me meet him. He changed my life. You know, I was a fan first, pompous, you and so many were.
Yes.
I grew up in central Pennsylvania. There, you know, most of my buddies were Flyer fans. I didn't know much about hockey, but because I was such a fanatic about the city of Pittsburgh, I had my radio tuned in to, at the time, KDKAM, the Penguins were on for a short time. And that's when I first heard his voice. I remember vividly the first day I met him, which was when, you remember the old KDKAM rainbow machine?
Oh, yeah.
the traveling unit that would show up in all types of places. And they were broadcasting live at the Igloo before a game, and before the game, they had Mike in the rainbow machine talking about the upcoming game, and he came out, and there were a bunch of fans around, chilly night, and I just got a chance to shake his hand, and then later got the chance to know him, and traveling with him and Steve Blass on the fledgling cable network, KBL, and I happen to be a pre- and post-game show guy. The Pirates threw me into that mix, and I kidded with Steve, and I talked for a while last night after we got the news. Steve, you've heard him talk, Bob, about how when he got to the big leagues, he was educated at the University of Baseball by Bill Mazeroski and Bob Friend. They taught him the ropes. Well, for me, I went to the University of Nightlife and the road at the university with Professors Blass and Lang. And, you know, I just, He just, it was way beyond broadcasting. And you know this, that there are less than maybe a handful of people in your life that you can talk to at any time of the day about any subject. It does not matter what it is. And talk to, in my case, Mike, about life's lessons. Again, people, the business. He set me up with our buddy Mike Burns, the very first guy. I didn't know anything about, you know, a contract in the big leagues. I had to sign a major league contract as a broadcaster, and Mike took me under his wing, and I'm unbelievably fortunate. Of course, he gave me my very, very first break in the business, which I still shake my head, and I get chills over thinking that he was so selfless that he would give me an inning of Major League Baseball play-by-play when, nobody told him to do that.
I love that story, by the way. You got to give more details on that because this is one of those, and this tells me that he knew you had special talents, and he was willing to throw you right into, the boiling water. Okay, Greg, go ahead. See what you can do, right? Tell that story.
He was very almost put off and discounted it and humble when I would bring it up, you know, if asked about it in interviews or whatnot, or I'd see him and we'd be amongst people and I'd say that and he'd go, no, I saw you. You would have done it anyway. No, that's not true. I was like the first kind of Dan Potash, if you will, in the business of, you know, Hannah Mears, Robbie and Smikowski, the pre and post game. They had never done that before. So I was doing pre and post game interviews and traveling with Mike and Steve, but Mike knew, of course, that my ultimate dream would have been to become a Major League Baseball broadcaster. And before I forget, I tell people this all the time, Pomp, you know, a handful of people in your life that help you get to where you're going, and you were one of them. I'll never forget the phone call. when you let me know about an opening at WFMJ in Youngstown, Ohio, and you said I should go for it, and you're on my list. Mike, at one point that summer said something about, there's a doubleheader coming up in a couple of weeks, kid, and I'm not doing 18 innings, so you better be ready. And I thought, what the heck does he mean by that? And I was well in tune with the team and the goings-on of Major League Baseball, so it wasn't as if I needed to be ultimately prepared. I was anyway. But maybe I boned up a little bit on the Pirates and the Mets doubleheader that was coming up in a few days, just in case. And I was kind of like a quasi stage manager at the time as well. When I wasn't doing the pre and post game stuff, I was in the booth, kind of not hovering, but aware of what was going on. So if I saw, you know, maybe Mike or Steve, the Pepsi was low, I'd run down to the press room and get him a brand new Pepsi and put it in, and make sure to sneak in on the right side. Don't go around my left side, kid. it's got to be the right side. The little quirky things of Mike. If he didn't understand an official scorer's call, for example, I would run down to the official scorer and find out exactly who was that error on, and I'd jot it down and sneak it in there to Mike. Not too much. I think just about right. And then one day, again, the Pirates are playing the Mets at Three River Stadium, and I'm standing there in the back of the booth, and, of course, the Mike and Steve are doing the game, so their backs are to me, and they're looking out at the field, and I'm in the back of the room. So I can't hear everything that they're saying, but it sounded like, Mike, at the end of the fifth inning, the Pirates lead the Mets 5-1, and when we come back, Greg Brown will take you through the sixth inning. And I'm thinking, there's no way he just said that. And he stands up, and he takes his headset off and lays it there on the counter, and he walks back, and he pats me on the back on his way out the door, and he says, "Go get him, kid." And I'm standing there kind of gobsmacked, like, what is going on here? And now I look over at Steve, and he is frantically, with the headset in one hand, waving me to the seat because they're coming back from the commercial. I sit down, I put the headset on, and come back from the commercial, and Steve says, "Well, as Mike said, take us through the sixth inning, here's Greg Brown." And there is that one inning of Major League Baseball play-by-play that I had now, and then I would use that, thanks to you, Pomp, to get the next gig on my way up to go to Youngstown as a weekend sports anchor. But yeah, I tell that story because Mike would later get his hand slapped. It was the only inning I did because it's the Pirates and KBL did not want me doing that. That wasn't the deal. I was to do a pre and post game, but Mike took that roll of the dice and didn't care that he'd get in trouble for it. And it was just an incredibly selfless act. And he's just just so many stories about this guy.
That's awesome. And I tell that to people too of just the beginnings of, you know, sometimes you need something like that, and I'm sure you killed it. And then, you know, the rest is history. You've been doing this at such a high level for so long. And you more than anyone else need to get back to that 13, 14, and 15 because I want to see you call some of these magnificent games and Paul Skeens.
Oh,
pitching.
You do.
But anyway, now, one other thing before I let you go, and I know you've been talking to a lot of people, so I appreciate the time, but, you know, he had all these sayings and so many ways he got them. I remember talking to him. In fact, we did a couple of features with him, where he got them, how he got them, what he did with them, how he maybe – you heard it from somebody and then change it a little bit, whatever. But I know this clear the deck cannonball coming is a great one from you. Tell us the, you know, that story and how much that Mike, you know, helped you from getting information from people out on the street who may have something really good. And they come to you and say, hey, why don't you try this? Hey, why don't you try this? How did you get to that one?
Well, he taught me off because I was with him actually. Pop, I wish I had more time because I was with him one night at a bar with a buddy of mine named Mark Norelli. We're staying at a crowded bar. Mike's sitting there at the bar by himself. You know, Mike loved to zone out and not really talk to anybody, just kind of be there by himself and take in the surroundings. But I'm standing off to the side, and my buddy Norelli is telling me this story. And and Mike's not paying attention to us whatsoever in a crowded bar. He's got, you know, a cigarette in one hand and a Miller Lite in the other. And my buddy says, Brown, I'm telling you, this guy didn't know whether to or wind his watch. he cussed. And Mike spun around on the bar stool and put out his hand, and he goes, wait a minute, what'd you say? And my buddy Norelli says, what? He goes, what'd you just say? He goes, didn't know whether to or wind his watch? And he used the cuss word, of course. And Mike then takes a drag of a cigarette. He looks off to the distance, exhales. He goes, I like it. And he turns around, and he grabs a napkin, and he asked the bartender for a pen, and he jots it down. And now Norelli and I are going crazy. Wait a minute, are you going to use this as a call? And he said, wait a minute, I'm going to have to clean it up because he cussed in it. So then for the next several weeks, we're listening to the post-game show. We're dying. Is he going to use the call? He never did. Norelli says, Brown, you got to call Mike. He's got to use this call. So I called Mike. I said, Norelli's killing it. He wants you badly to use this call. He says, tell him to be patient. So finally, we listen to the post-game show one night after a Penguin game. And, Lemieux, down the right wing circle, shoots. He shoots and scores. And Hextall didn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. And Norelli and I were together in the car, actually, running back from the igloo to hear the post-game after the game. We're high-fiving like we just scored the goal. And so I would watch Mike, you know, over the years grab that napkin, the book, and his pocket was filled with junk, folded up napkins and papers and including these calls. And I asked him about that. I said, I get that a lot, too. And he says, well, you got to decide. You know, you can't use them all. You got to tell people you'll try. And my barber in Bellevue, Aaron Stubna, called me. One night I'm in San Diego, he's back in Pittsburgh, and they're having a party at his house. It had to be 2 a.m. there, and I get the call, and he says, hey, we got a home run call for you. My dad, my uncle, and I, and you're a fan of Caddyshack, and yeah. And here it comes, you know, cannonball coming, clear the deck. And then he said, not just clear the deck, you got to add a little pause, cannonball coming. And I thought about it. And as Mike said, you don't use them all, but use the ones you think might work and give it a test. And I gave it a test run, and there wasn't much, you know, talk about it until, Bob, during batting practice, I'm down on the field. Players didn't see me. Pitchers were taking BP. I was off in the dugout doing something, but I heard A.J. Burnett hit a home run, and he screamed, clear the deck, cannonball coming. And I thought, well, then if these guys think it's legit, it must be.
Oh, my God. That's a great story. And that's how it all started. You never know, right? You're out somewhere. Somebody has a good idea. You take it. You fine-tune it. And you
can't use them all because, you know, people get they can't. And Mike was brilliant at that and how he handled people, fans, individuals, about, you know, not being rude to them. But they had to understand. There were times where he had to be hey, listen, I can't use it. You know, you got to accept it. And you can't use them all, but you got to think about it, and does it work? Yeah, he just, my gosh, it's an amazing, you know, he was my Yoda. I tell people he was my Yoda.
Let me refresh my memory. I had Steve on. We were talking about the roast for Mike Lang.
Oh, that you got to refresh my memory because we were toasting. Not a thing we could talk about on the air, of course, because that was as bad as it got. It's funny, you know, my sister Kate worked at a competing radio station, at another station, and where the Penguins were on. And she was in sales, and she called me one day, and she came up with this idea because she had seen somebody else. And she said, we're thinking about maybe doing, what would you think if Mike did that? So I called Mike. I said, you know, this station wants to do a roast for you. Eh, no, I don't want to do a roast. I said, well, we could donate them. Oh, all right. So he begrudgingly said yes. And they pulled it off, man. That was, and you were, of course, there. You and I were, we were on the dais. It was incredible.
And my story on that night was I was not supposed to do the 11 o'clock sports, but then I think it was Steve Talbot or somebody got sick. And I was, I was in no way in shape or form ready to go to do that, but I had to. So I had to.
Well, you know, that's funny you say that because that changes the narrative of that story because I've told people over the years, you know what a champion Pompeiani is. What he did that roast knowing he had to do the 11 o'clock news.
No, I didn't know.
I didn't realize.
No, oh, and I was, like I said, I had to pull it together because, you know, I didn't want to get myself in a bad situation.
Well, you pulled it off. You pulled it off.
That was a great roast, and it was a great time, and you're right, all those memories. And, Greg, I know you've had so many. I know it's a hard one for you today, but just wanted to thank you for the time. And, man, condolences on the loss of your friend.
Well, likewise, it's so many, and to his sons Ian and Tanner, who were great, and all the people that helped Michael. I'm missing the heck out of him. I'm taking comfort in the fact that the suffering is over, and I'll see him again someday. But missing him as badly as anybody. But thanks a million for letting me chat about him.
All right, that's Greg Brown, voice of the Pirates. You will be hearing Clear the Deck Cannonball coming. Hopefully, a lot this year, Brownie. Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Pomp.
All right, we got to continue here. 412-928-9370 is the number. Jeff Hathorn will come on from 1 o'clock. We'll be talking about the Four Nations finale as well and get Jeff's take on Mike Lang, who passed away last night, sadly, at the age of 76. But as Greg said, he was suffering, and you don't want to see people suffer. That's the worst way you can go. And so now all the pain is gone, and the memories will last a lifetime over what was – I don't know how many iconic calls you can make in one man's career, but he had a lot of them, and all at the right time. I remember the end, Austin, of the 2009 when they beat the Red Wings and Joe Louis, and it was Marc-Andre Fleury came up with an amazing save on Nicklas Lidström. We were there for this. I had my entire family there, and it was like, okay, are they going to hang on and win this thing or not? And he made the save. I didn't hear the call until I went back. And I heard it. When I heard it, I said, that's just vintage Mike Lang. He captured the moment.
And the thing about it, too, is that, Bob, he was so calm, like, in that moment. Like, you could tell that there was definitely, like, excitement in his voice. But the excitement of the moment did not overwhelm the call, which is just so huge for broadcasting. Like, you want to make sure that you capture it the best way possible. Don't be too loud. Don't be too low. All the above. Like, sometimes.
And there's a time to let the crowd breathe, too. You got to hear it, you know. So all of that is big parts of big calls.
That's one of my favorite calls of his throughout his entire career.
I remember specifically, I mentioned this earlier, but this the first goal he scored in Boston when he took the puck away from Raymond Bourque, went down and beat Pete Peters on a backhand. That was iconic. But there was another one which happened at Le Colisée in Quebec City when Mario was shorthanded and he stripped the puck from, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but he was being hacked and whacked and hit from behind. No penalty was being called back then. They didn't call penalty. You had to take him down, put him, you know. And yet he somehow, despite all that going on, again, went to the backhand to score a goal on one of the more beautiful plays in that call. I mean, he was on top of all those calls. So also one of my favorites, and I can go on and on here about this, but to me, this Mario five goals five different ways will never happen again.
No.
That happened on a New Year's Eve, I don't know what year it was, 1988. And again, Mike, those calls, when you score a power play, a shorthanded, an even strength, a penalty shot, and an empty net are all in the same game. I mean, Just legendary stuff. So,
you know, we use the word, and, you know, Lanny Fratteri is a huge advocate of not using the word unbelievable all the time. That is one of the true things in sports that is, like, frankly unbelievable. Five goals, five different ways.
In one game. And again, those are, we talk about things that never be repeated. And Lanny was great about it. Another legendary broadcaster in our Western Pennsylvania area for over 30 years. So we've been very fortunate over the years to have all these gentlemen and to do what they've done to create images and memories for all of us.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.